Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day. If you're here this morning, how many of you are here this morning? Okay, if you're here this morning, you're here because of your mom. Right? Everybody knows that, right? Okay, all right. So if your mom is still alive, make sure you do something special, even if it's just to call her today. If your mom has passed on, then say a special prayer and just thank God for her. If it weren't for your mom, you wouldn't be here. Okay? And if it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ, then none of us would be in the condition that we are in. Amen? So let's talk about salt and light this morning. We began last week looking at some of the parables of Jesus and focusing on some of the things that Jesus taught in those parables to help us as we strive to be a people of excellence for the Lord. What can we learn from the things that Jesus taught His disciples? He wanted them to know these specific messages for a reason. That was to help them to be what He wanted them to be as His disciples, and those lessons are no less important for us today as His disciples. So this morning we're going to talk about what Jesus has to say about salt and light over in Matthew chapter 5. So turn in your Bible there if you haven't already, and let's talk about the situation that we are in the world today. Okay? Would you agree that the world is becoming darker? Okay? Now, I'm not talking about the sun and the light that it emits and so forth. I'm talking about the conditions of the world that we live in. Okay? That I believe it's getting darker. Now, before I go any further, I want you to understand, and let's put it in context here, okay? Because I'm not an alarmist. I'm not one of these doom and gloom people that goes around saying the sky's falling, the world's going to end tomorrow, and that kind of thing. But I do think we need to understand where things are, okay? In Noah's day, the Lord, the Bible tells us, looked upon man's heart and saw that every inclination of man's heart was only evil all the time. That's bad. That's bad. Now, as bad as the world is today, would you agree with me it's not quite that bad? Some of you aren't really sure. Okay? I mean, there's a lot of bad things going on, but it's not that bad yet. Okay? There's a lot of good going on in the world today that wasn't going on in Noah's day. Everybody with me so far? But it is getting worse. It's getting darker in the world. And people's lives are becoming more and more tasteless, if you will. And you'll understand more of what I mean by that in just a few moments. So, if we recognize that as God's people, then hopefully we also recognize the responsibility we have to shine more and more light in the dark world that we live in. So let's take a look at salt and light. You see, one of the things we have to understand about salt and light is that salt and light, I think God wants us to see ourselves as those two ingredients for a world that is tasteless and a world that is in darkness. Okay? And Jesus calls upon us with a certain responsibility to respond as salt and as light in this world that we live in. Jesus, it's interesting in the parables, many of the parables that Jesus tells, he compares a certain situation and the parable that he's telling to the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like such and such. In this parable, he takes a different approach. He talks about us and the work that we are to be doing in the kingdom. You see, since we are, as we've talked about many times before in the past, since we are part of the kingdom, we're subjects of the kingdom, then what's the kingdom really like? Well, it's only like what its subjects are. And Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. Now, we need to understand some things about salt. Now, how many of you are like I am and you put too much salt on your food? Come on, admit it. And some of you, you have somebody that loves you, okay, that is constantly telling you, you don't have to put so much salt on that, right? Okay, yeah. All right, and why do we put so much salt on our food? Because it tastes better that way, right? That's what salt does. It gives flavor to otherwise tasteless food. You see? That's part of its purpose. And that's why we use so much salt. Because we want to add and enhance the flavor of whatever it is that we are eating. Without salt, the reality is a lot of what we eat would be tasteless and bland, wouldn't it? In fact, we'd probably, if we didn't have salt, we'd probably change a lot of our diet in terms of what we eat. I ain't eating that. There's no way to give it any flavor. Okay? So we recognize the value of that, but also you recognize that too much salt will do what to the food? It'll ruin the flavor of it. You ever bitten into something, you know, that somebody's put a lot of salt on, maybe it had a lot already, and then you added more and you go, whoa! Yeah, got way too much salt in it. So, what do we have to do with the salt that we're using? We got to make sure we use the right amount, right? Use the right amount. It's possible to use too much, as well as not enough. You see, here's part of the point. As Jesus talks about us being the salt of the earth, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You see, God wants us, that is, His people, to add flavor to the tasteless lives of those in the world. That is part of our responsibility in the kingdom. You see, in the kingdom of God is like those who are filled full of salt and are flavoring the lives of those who are lost. Our being involved in someone else's life, in other words, should make some kind of a positive impact on that person. If it doesn't, then there's something wrong. Do you agree with that? In other words, if you add salt to your food and it doesn't enhance the flavor, then what is the point? You see? So if God adds you as salt to someone's life, He's adding you there for a reason, isn't He? Because He wants you to add flavor to that person's life in some way. And if you don't accomplish that, then you're like the salt that has lost its flavor. You see? In other words, I'm convinced that God brings us into other people's lives, one another's lives, for a reason. You see? And it may be that person at work that has never gotten to know the Lord. Nobody's ever taken the opportunity to tell them. And so maybe God has brought you into that person or this stranger. You ever wonder why? Where did I met this person and it was just an odd thing. Well, maybe it's because they need some flavoring in their lives and God has used you or wants to use you to bring that flavor into their lives. Because that's what we do with salt. And so if we don't flavor that person's life, at least to some degree, then we're useless to the Lord. Good only to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. And that's what he says about the salt, isn't it? If the salt loses its saltiness, it's not good for anything. I don't know of any scientist yet that has found any useful purpose for salt that has gone bad. I haven't found any that I know of. As Jesus said, it's not good for anything, okay, except to be thrown out. If we lose our saltiness, then I think there's two things we have to be concerned about. Number one, we become ineffective in flavoring the lives of other people. Number two, we're in danger of being trampled down by the world. Okay? And so Jesus is emphasizing in this parable our position as salt, to bring flavor to the otherwise tasteless lives of those who are lost. Okay? What an awesome responsibility that he's given us. Do you agree? But the responsibility doesn't stop there, does it? Because then there's paragraph 2, okay, that we have to look at. Verse 14, he also says, not only are you salt, but you're also the light of the world. Okay, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Now, we started out this morning talking about how dark the world is becoming, right? And it's only going to become darker. I don't know if you realize that or not, but it's only going to become darker. See? That's the nature of the way the world is going. And one day the world in its full, complete darkness is going to be lit again by the light of the return of Jesus. Amen? That's the day I'm looking forward to. How about you? But until then, until that time comes, as the darkness of the world increases, Jesus is telling His disciples that our light has got to continue to shine. To shine in this dark world so that others can see that light and give glory to God. We have that responsibility. You see, one of the great things about light is that it really doesn't take a lot in order to shine in darkness, does it? It doesn't take a whole lot of light. In other words, you don't have to have a 5,000 watt candle power, whatever it is, to light up your closet, do you? You can be in a completely pitch black room and light one match or one little candle. And it's amazing how much you can see in that total darkness because of that one light. That's the power that light has over darkness. Okay? What we have to understand about darkness and light, you see, is that darkness, and we talked about it, as I talked about this way back a long time ago, that darkness really, in essence, is the absence of light. You see? Darkness is the absence of light. In other words, darkness does not exist by itself. Darkness only happens and only occurs when you take the light away. Okay? Well, okay, how do you get rid of the darkness then? How do you overcome the darkness? By shining the light. You see? Shine the light. And the darkness is eliminated. And that's the task that Jesus has given to His disciples today. To be the light that shines in the darkness. You see? So that the darkness is minimized in people's lives, and that they're able then to see their way to Jesus. That's the task He's given to everyone that belongs to Him, that we are the light. You see, God wants all men to come to eternal life. He wants people to be able to be brought out of the darkness into the light. And He's given you and I that task of shining the light so that those in darkness can see their way. People won't see our light if we hide it or cover it up. Okay? So one of the things that we have to ask ourselves and be very brutally honest in a self-evaluation is, am I covering up my light? Because maybe I don't want my neighbors to be able to see it because they'll stop talking to me. Or you know, I got to cover that light when I go to work because, you know, we're not allowed to talk about Jesus and Christianity and all that stuff, and I might get fired if my light shines, so let me just put the cover over top of my light while I'm at work. Or wherever else that we go, how often do you cover your light so that others won't see who you are? Okay. It's an important question that we have to ask ourselves, isn't it? Self-evaluation kind of a question. For those of you who are here with us visiting this morning, maybe you begin to see that, you know, I don't pull punches a lot, okay? Because I try to help people to be what God has called upon us to be. And Jesus, in declaring His followers as the light of the world, says, look, there is no other way that people are going to be able to find their way to Me unless you let your light shine. So don't cover your light. When someone wants to have light in their house, they light a lamp and they put it up on a stand so it gives light to everyone. And you can't take a city that's up on a hill and hide it. Jesus says, I don't want you to hide either. You need to be the kind of light that when someone looks at you, they know exactly who you are. And they know exactly where you come from. But in order for the light to stay lit, it has to remain connected to the power source. Right? Without any power, the light's going to go out. I was looking for a flashlight the other day. You know how many flashlights I had to pick up and turn on before I found one that worked? Yeah. Because the batteries had gone dead. And I wonder if sometimes that's what we allow to do in our own lives. That when the time comes for us to shine our light in somebody's life, the batteries are dead. Because we haven't bothered to keep them charged in our own lives. If we don't stay connected to the power source, then the lights go. Y'all experience that, right? I mean, you know, the storm comes through, knocks down the power lines, and you're flipping over there. You know, if you keep flipping that switch, okay, it's not going to make the lights come on if the power's gone, okay? You can stand there and keep flipping it all day long, and some people do. They go, The lights won't come on. Yeah, because the power's out. We do the same thing in our lives. If we don't stay connected to the power source, then the light is not going to shine. I don't care how new the bulbs are in your house, folks, okay? It's not going to shine. And that's why we have got to stay connected to Jesus. Because He is the power source in our life. Last week we were talking about the parable of the 10 virgins and the oil that they needed for their lamps, and the story about how they all went to wait for the bridegroom, and when the bridegroom showed up, the announcement came, and five of them had extra oil for their lamps and five did not. And so the five foolish had to go out and find more oil, and they were left out of the wedding banquet. One of the things that we saw about that parable is that we realize and understand that the oil is the power source for the lamp. And oil in the Bible represents most often the Holy Spirit. And so in order for us to have light and to be light, to stay connected to the power source, we've got to have that same oil in our lamp. The power of the Holy Spirit living and dwelling within us. Now, here's the part that I want you to focus on when we finish up this morning. As we think about the idea of being light and of being salt in this world that we live in, and giving flavor to the tasteless lives of those who are lost, and allowing our light to shine in the darkness, one of the things that Jesus brings about in this parable is the issue of how we are seen by other people. Notice He says at the end of this parable, "Therefore, let your light shine before men so they will see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." So how we are seen by those who are looking at us is vitally important, is it not? And so it then begs the question of our identity as salt and light. How are we seen by others, as individuals and also as a church? How are we seen? Well, I can tell you that a lot of people see us as a church as being, oh yeah, you're the people who don't use instrumental music. Or yeah, you're the ones who think you're the only ones going to heaven. Say, or you're the ones who are very, very legalistic and so forth. You see, that's how so many people see us in this world. But you know what? God has called upon us to be the hope of the world, in the sense that we are to be the salt and the light. And so, being that, we don't have any right whatsoever to change the message that God has given to us. Do you agree with that? It's God's message. We're just the messengers. We don't have a right to change the message. But we've got to change ourselves so that we conform to what God wants us to be, not to what the world wants us to be. And you see, I think part of the reason that the world is becoming darker is that there are too many, I'm just going to use in the broad sense of the word, churches out there that are conforming to the world and what the world wants rather than what Amen. God wants. Amen. And we've got to make sure that we change ourselves to be what God wants us to be, not what others want us to be, or even think that we are. Jesus has called upon us and made us salt and light so that we can make a difference in people's lives. That's really what it's about. Okay? And everything that we do to accomplish that task, we need to make sure that it is to bring glory to Almighty God. You and I are the salt of the earth, and we're the light of the world. Without us being effective in people's lives, then the world has no hope whatsoever. So as we conclude this morning, I want you to think about, we're going to sing a song here in just a moment. Wesley's going to come up and lead us in a song we'll use as an invitation song. And I want you to be thinking about yourself as salt. And have you lost your flavor? Is there something you need to do? Do you need to kind of get that flavor back in your life so that you're making a difference in people's lives? Or maybe has your light gone really, really dim because you don't have any oil in your lamp? We're here this morning to help one another to be what God wants us to be. And so if we can help you to do that in any way, all you have to do is let me know. Ted will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to just have a private conversation or prayer with him. You can go back there and see him. Otherwise, I'll be up here to receive you. Let's stand together and sing. Wes?